Random House Audio presents The Age of Sacred Terror by Daniel Benjamin and Stephen Simon. Read for you by Philip Bosco. The first killing of the Terror was carried out by an Egyptian in Manhattan. The weapon was not a Boeing 767, but a chrome-plated 357 Magnum. And the attack happened in the conference room of a Midtown hotel. One man was killed, two others were injured. Years would pass before anyone realized that the event was more than the solitary act of a deranged man. On November 5, 1990, El Said Nosseir rushed toward the podium in the Morgan D room of the Marriott Eastside Hotel. Just to the side of the microphone, Maya Kahana was signing books and greeting members of the audience for the speech he had just finished. As he neared the front of the room, Nosseir aimed his gun and fired. The bullet tore into Kahana's neck and exited through his cheek. As blood poured from his mouth, Kahana raised his hands to his head and fell backward. The shooter spun and ran toward the exit, but just before the door, he was grabbed by a 73-year-old man named Irving Franklin. Nosseir kept moving and dragged Franklin a couple of yards before shooting him in the leg to get free. He sprinted from the hotel and jumped in a cab, thinking it was the getaway car he had arranged. It wasn't. Nosseir jammed the gun into the back of the cabbie's head and screamed at him to drive. But traffic was moving slowly. And when a student who had been at Kahana's lecture and chased after Nosseir jumped in front of the cab, the driver slid out the door and took off. Nosseir abandoned the car too, but he ran into the path of a Postal Service policeman. Nosseir shot and wounded the officer, who returned fire, dropping the Egyptian with a neck wound. As he lay bleeding on the sidewalk, El Said Nosseir was sure he had changed the course of history. He believed this because of his bizarre reading of Israeli politics. Kahana was a Brooklyn rabbi who founded the Jewish Defense League and then emigrated to Israel and established the Koch Party, which had been banned from his country's parliament in 1988 because of its blatant racism. The group advocated, for example, the expulsion of Arabs from Israel and the occupied territories. Yet Nosseir was convinced that Kahana was destined to be the leader of the Jewish state and a force in global affairs. They were preparing him to dominate, to be the prime minister someday, he would later say. They were preparing him despite their assertion that they reject his agenda and that he is a racist. A 34-year-old from the northeastern Egyptian city of Port Said, Nosseir had moved to the United States in 1981 with a university degree in engineering in hand. He was not a happy immigrant. His sister in Egypt later related that he disliked America, saying he didn't like the morality there. Nonetheless, he stayed, married an American woman and moved to New Jersey, bouncing from job to job and winding up as a heat and air conditioning repairman for the city of New York. To investigators, he seemed mentally disturbed, and a police official described him as depressed. A month after the shooting, a federal investigator said, "Either the man is a lone nut, or he's a lone nut and someone whispered something in his ear, knowing he'd do it. Or there's an enormous international conspiracy." Authorities quickly settled on the first hypothesis. Their belief that there was nothing more to the case, and perhaps the refusal of Kahana's Orthodox family to allow a full autopsy, helps explain the shoddiness of the case prosecutors put together. At trial, the jury could not even be convinced that it was Nosseir who shot Kahana. He was convicted on two counts of assault, first-degree coercion for his treatment of the cabbie, and a weapons charge, and packed off to the state prison at Attica.